And I'm just going to pray one more time, knowing that I can truly do nothing. I'm really, truly inadequate without God's help. I don't even feel like I belong up here. I just wish Pastor was still here, that he could be here and preach, teach. And I know that I'm nothing. I'm just here because the Lord asked me to come here. He opened the door. And I was asked to come up here and to fill in the gap. And that's all I'm doing. So praise God. Why don't we just pray one more time? Oh, Heavenly Father, we'd just like to come before you, Lord, today, and that you would just open my eyes and ears and heart of understanding, that I would be found faithful enough to bring forth your word, oh Lord, as accurate as I know how to make it, as accurate as I know how, as you give me the faith and the understanding and the light to see. But we pray now, Lord, too, that your presence, your Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be truly invited here, to be right here in the middle. Whether there's few or many people, it does not matter. We just want to continue to walk in obedience before God. And Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory, all the praise. We honor you, Lord, because of what you have done for us on the cross. We love you because you have called us. You have opened our eyes and ears. We have received the most precious gift we could ever receive. And because of that, we are so grateful and so thankful. As we fall upon our knees, oh God, like that one who came back and thanked Jesus and fell on his knees, only a remnant have ever done so, and so do we. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. We know today that the name of the message that I'm going to bring forth by the help and mercy of Almighty God is called That Great Judgment Day. That's the name of the message. That Great Judgment Day. And it's really about the righteous and the unrighteous. We live in a world where you have the court systems here. You have people going to court for this or for that reason. You have people standing before judges. You have people standing before magistrates and lawyers and people in high office and high command that have authority to sentence people who have committed crimes or who have done this or that in their lives and who stand at attention, ready to go where they tell them that they must go. So it will be on that great judgment day. And that great judgment day, we know that the unrighteous and the righteous will stand before Almighty God. Those who are righteous will stand before God ready to receive their reward. But those that are unrighteous before the great white throne judgment will then be sentenced not only to die the first death, but to die the second death. The second death going into eternal hellfire, into perdition, along with the devil himself, along with the Antichrist, along with the great whore, along with all those entities that have stood and fought for the sake of evil. Their day of reckoning is soon coming upon us. And all those who have lived righteous before God Almighty, to their great reward. I wanted to just start off in Psalm chapter 1, verse 6, and allow me to go there. If you hear rustling of the pages or there's a gap of time and I'm not speaking, I'm asking you to please bear with me in that because, again, I'm just doing the best I know how to do. And in Psalm 1:6, it says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." We know that there is a polar opposite. Yet, at the same time, we know that even as Christians, we still have the sin nature in us. We still know that we are still capable of doing the worst kinds of sins. We are still capable of falling backward, of falling away, of falling into all manner of sin and rebellion. We're capable of doing many things unless we are truly under the hand of God, submitted and surrendered in our heart, and letting God and allowing Him to take the reins of our heart, to take the reins of our mind, our thoughts, words, and deeds, and to control, to lead and guide in such a manner that we are so submitted to Him that it's no longer a matter of fighting it. It's no longer something that we feel we have to do. It's something that we want to do. It's something that becomes a joy. It is something in our heart. There's something about that where you just want to please God. In fact, there's a place where you can get to in prayer where you don't want to stop. As Shirley mentioned this morning, she felt something snap in the spirit as she couldn't stop praying this morning as she had gone in before the Lord. And that's the place where we can all get to. That's what we strive for. We strive for the mastery. We strive to get to that place in God where we're truly, the only thing that we see is God. The only thing that we care about is pleasing Him. And there is a polar characterization of differences between the ungodly and the godly, between the just and the unjust. And there are characters and conditions. Their condition is unstable. There are conditions for the ungodly when they take that wide road that is slippery. Then they take that wide road that leads to hell and perdition. Their ways are not blessed. Their ways are cursed. But to the godly, their way is narrow and straight, often difficult. But it is also very blessed. The way of the narrow way, the straight way, the one way, the true way, that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ when He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, except through me or by me." So truly we know that there's only one way. There's only one faith and there's only one hope. And I know I've probably said this every time I've been up here, but it is true. We need to really get this into our lives, into our hearts, into our way of thinking. If we go to John, 1 John, chapter 3, 10 through 15, I want to read. First John, bear with me, I just had it here. First John, hi Gordon. First John 3:10 through 15. Here we go. Here it is. "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is a message that ye heard from the beginning that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I'm sure the world over, those who have lived before us, who have gone on into eternity, those who still live today, have had at their adversary, the devil, working through people, working through manifold situations and circumstances to either hinder you or to stop you from living for God. To put or try to put in there roots of bitterness and hatred, and to put in there unforgiveness, whereby we become defeated if we don't diligently guard and watch over our hearts. Therefore, our hope is not in the ways of the world, the ways of man, or what we always see, for truly it is a walk of faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And we know that Cain killed his brother Abel. We know that in today's world, there are Cains everywhere, killing their Abels, killing their brother. Whether they're a blood brother or they're a brother in Christ, it's the same thing. Unless if they're truly of the Lord. So we know that our hope belongs in Jesus Christ, who is able to deliver us from such a thing. But we know that we will always have an adversary, the devil. Therefore, the road is narrow and difficult. We must learn to walk by faith and to trust God through it all, because we know that it's not going to get any more easier. There's coming a time when things are going to get so rough and so difficult that if it were possible, even the elect would fall away. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the Bible tells us truly that you will know a Christian, a man or a woman, by the very fruits that they bear. You know that a tree that is dead, if the stalk is dead, the branches are dead, it's not going to bear any fruit. Therefore, what is that tree rooted in? Where are the roots? What is it adhered to? If it's dead, the whole thing is dead. And the fruits, there are none. But you know that if a tree bears good fruit, you'll know that by their words, their actions, their character, their thoughts. Their lives will be changed. They will have a desire to truly live for God, to be like-minded, to not walk contrary to those around them, but to prefer others before themselves, to walk in a manner that is unselfish, to walk in a manner that is purposeful, in bringing forth good fruit. They desire to wake up in the morning, to live for God, to be like God, in a manner that is likened to his character. And truly that is something that the Lord wants us to do, to bear that kind of fruit. To bear the fruit of prayer and reading of the word of God, and obeying it and applying it to our lives. To be that kind of man or a woman where we can walk out each day, each morning, afternoon or evening, and meet the world with the likeness of Christ in us. No matter what happens in our life, we're going to be challenged. We're going to be met with the adversary. But it's how we handle those situations. It's what we do that is going to make the difference. In Psalm chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." What does that mean in our lives today? That means the Lord is going to try the motives, the intents of the heart, your affections. You're going to be tried and tested. The devil too will come and try you, like he did with Job. And God allowed it to happen. But Job persevered through it all, losing his whole family, losing all he had, being vexed with sores and temptations, and his own wife even telling him to curse God and die. What worse thing could you possibly hear from someone that you love? Truly, these are the days that wickedness throughout all the world has run amok. Life here on earth has become out of control, outrageous. Lives of people all over the world have relinquished their minds, will, and emotions to the ways of death and evil, to the ways of idolatry in this whole world. They have relinquished their will because it's called easy believism. There's no fight involved. Just, I'm okay, you're okay. But that's the way of the devil. That road is wide and slippery and falls into perdition. For there is no hope in that road. There's no way out once you go down that road and you fall into perdition. There's no more second chances, because then, once you die, then the judgment. If we go to Ezekiel chapter 11:5. Ezekiel 11:5. I'm like you, I'm thumbing through the Bible trying to get there. Here we go. "And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in the city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, your slain, whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. But I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof and deliver you into the hands of strangers and will execute judgments among you. Ye shall fall by the sword, and I will judge you in the border of Israel. Ye shall know that I am the Lord." The Lord knows all, at all times of the day. God knows what we're up against. He knows who we're for. He knows who we're against. He knows the very thoughts and the intents and knows what direction we're going to take. But he tries us. He forbears us. He has great patience and kindness. But we know that on that day, the day in our lives is every day, Judgment Day. Every day here is a work towards eternity. The day will declare it. We know that every day we have an opportunity either to live for God or not. If we go to Psalms chapter 11, 5 through 7. I want to go there. Psalms 11. In Psalms 11, 5 through 7, it reads, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be his portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." For we know that God will not abandon a just man. A just man falls 7 times and gets back up. God allows trials and tests and every manner of affliction many times. But it is through affliction and tribulation that we enter into heaven. Therefore, we are tested and tried. Our faith is so precious, but that is the very thing that is tested. Our faith before God, in the face of every trial, in the face of every circumstance in our life, God is going to allow things to help us. God allows tests and trials of every kind so that we would become stronger, that we would become a brighter lit candle. That's why the candle, the wicks are snipped off, that it burns brighter. So it is with our lives. We are to be pruned. When we're pruned, we're going to bear more fruit. If you go to Hebrews 13:5, I want to go there. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. And it says here, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." How many have been through trials in their life where they felt forsaken and left behind, where they felt abandoned? When you've been out there in the desert, when you've been out there in the world, where it felt like the Lord wasn't talking to you or speaking to you, when you felt like you were going down the wrong road and you didn't know how to get back on the right road, when you're going through the valleys and of your life and you had no way to know or understand, full of confusion, full of perplexities of every kind. And yet God has found a way for you. Oftentimes the Lord won't work or move until your back is completely against the wall and you have absolutely nowhere else to turn. And when that happens, that is oftentimes when the Lord moves. God will find a way and make a way where there is no way, and that is biblical. That's God's way. If we go to Romans 8, 28 and 29. God's ways are perfect. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, 29. 28 and 29. It says here, in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Are you called? If you're called of God, then you have a purpose in life. If you're called of God, then you're going to have He's going to have a plan for you. And what He began, He will finish. Whether you can see that, know it, or realize it. Jesus is a worker of good. The devil, on the other hand, is a worker of evil. We have an adversary, but we know that through adversity, we become stronger. Through the adversity of life, that is how we go from glory to glory, from step upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, as the Lord teaches us through these complicated situations that we go through in life. We don't learn anything by just having a life full of smooth, uncomplicated situations. We don't learn anything from a life that has no challenges. But it is through the challenge that we grow. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we know that we have a hope and a purpose and a plan. He has predestined those, as He said, I have not lost one sheep whom the Lord has given me. I'm kind of paraphrasing there. But the Lord, when He mentioned that He had not lost anyone that the Lord had, that God had given Him. Truly, that's the Lord's way. It's his protecting hand. That He envelopes all His own. He's able to protect all of His. He's able to bring them home one day. That no matter what we go through in life, and there are many things that we go through, God will make us, help us, and lead us into that right way. If we go to Psalm 34:15, 34. I'm kind of back and forth. I'm all over the place, I guess. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, 34:15 through 16, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So we know that this world is a place where are the proving grounds for men and women all over. And it's important that we get before God in the privacy of our own room and ask God to give us strength and faith to meet the day. Because out there is a world willing and ready to take you down any way it can. The devil is there waiting, prowling, seeking whom he may devour. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. In other words, He's going to hear your cries. He's going to hear your prayers. And sometimes it needs to be desperate. Sometimes we get to that place where it's got to be so desperate, where we really mean what we say and say what we mean. And God hears that kind of a cry. It says here in 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Amen. Praise God. The Lord knows. The Lord knows how to protect his own. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We know that if we walk after the flesh, there is trouble, trouble, trouble everywhere. Trouble here and trouble there. Trouble within and trouble without. There is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to them that walk after the flesh. No peace to those who look to stir trouble and strife and contention and discord. We know that there is no hope in that. But when we look to God, God is well able to straighten our paths. If we will only but repent and ask God to take over, lead us and guide us in the way that is right, good, and true. In John 5:24, it says, verily, verily. In other words, when Jesus says, verily, verily, twice, it's already established. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So we know that we have that kind of hope. We have that kind of life. We know that we serve a God who is so willing to save us, to help us. But then we have the adversary, the devil. In Psalm 37:15, why don't we go there? Psalm 37:15-18, it says, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that is righteous, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. There is the difference between the just and the unjust. The wicked shall have their time, their day of reckoning, and so shall the righteous. The righteous will have their day of reward. There is a big difference between the two. Our hope is not in anything that we have in the flesh. There's no hope in that. There's no hope in anything that our opinions don't even matter. What really counts is what God says. What is God's opinion on the matter? What does his word say? That's where the value is. Why don't we go there and trust God? Why don't we seek his approval, not man's approval? For man's approval is nothing but wind and confusion. Man's approval doesn't matter a bit. But what really matters is on that day when God says, thou hast been faithful, welcome. Faithful, that is a great word. Faithful. That word faithful goes a long ways. When we are faithful to God in all that we do, when we are faithful, these are the proving grounds of being faithful and right and good and true before God. And if we go to 37, Psalm 37, 29 through 34, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Amen. Praise God for that. We know that we don't rejoice when the wicked are judged. We don't rejoice when we see someone fall. No. We don't ever want to do that. We want to see people restored and helped. But yet God has spoken it in his word once. And what the Lord has said, he meant. We are given warnings throughout the word of God to live a righteous life or a wicked life. We have a choice every day. What will we choose? Because we have a will. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Oftentimes, that carries the day. What we decide to do. A lot of times, people don't sit there and pray before God. People are rushed throughout life, rushing to their jobs, rushing for appointments, to make money. We all have to make money, of course. It's just part of life. But we must spend time before God and seek his ways, seek his peace. Because we know that the righteous overcome sin and inherit the promise. That's God's ways for the righteous. And if you remember Caleb, what did Caleb do? He said, we are well able to overcome. We should go into the land and take it. We are well able to overcome. And all the Israelites, the whole tribe, said, no, they are too strong for us. We can't do it. You see, it only takes the faith of one or two people to make a big difference. It only takes that. If we listen to the crowd, if we listen to the masses, we wouldn't get anywhere. But you see what he's talking about there, that parallels our own walk before God. We are well over to overcome. Let us go in and take the land. What does that really mean? What that means is we are well able to overcome sin, to overcome obstacles and giants in our life and take the land. Take the land back that the devil tried to take from us. That's God's ways. He wants us to overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that right? It said, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. He didn't say tomorrow or he didn't say next week, did he? No, he said at once. And possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That is full of faith. To overcome the giants in your own life. There is a cause, isn't there? I remember David when he slew Goliath. And how that all he said was, is there not a cause? Truly there is, in spite of all the ridicule. In spite of all the opposition that he received from his brothers and from others. And thinking that he was there causing trouble when all he was there for was for the cause of Christ. And how he took that stone and slew Goliath. And Goliath fell dead in one hit, right between the eyes. And the Lord delivered Israel that day. So it is in our own lives. We must take it, the violent take it by force. We must take back the land that the devil has tried to take from us. That doesn't mean we're violent as people. No, that means we're bound and determined to live for God, righteous, meekly, humble, to obey. If we go to John 15, let's go there if you get a chance. John chapter 15. John 15, 16 through 20. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I had said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So we know that in this world, we're going to suffer persecution. We're no better than Jesus. We're no better. Who do we think we are to think that we can get through life without some kind of adversary attacking us? No, we're no better than that. We know that we're going to have an adversary whenever we're doing a righteous work. We're going to have opposition in our life whenever we do a work for God. Whenever it is found to be faithful, true, and just, the devil does not want that to exist. So he's going to throw everything he can at that situation to cause problems. And it could be anywhere in the world. It could be here, it could be there where you are. And it happens everywhere, in every ministry, in every work of God, throughout the whole world. If we go to Psalm 75:10. It says here in 75:10, and all the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. You see, horns in the Word of God means a source of power and strength. There are going to be powers and strengths of evil that God is going to cut off. All power of the wicked will be cut off on that day. But the horns of the righteous will live on. Will have strength and power to live for God through the strength given to us by the Holy Ghost. If we go to Proverbs 2:21. Proverbs 2:21 says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You know, there's no hope in the unrighteous. There's no hope in being wicked. Throughout the Bible, it talks about how God will cut off the wicked. He's going to uproot their ways. He's going to uproot the devil and his angels and his servants and all his minions. They're all going to be uprooted. They're going to be ensnared in their own traps. And it's a sad thing to see that people have given their lives so completely over to the wicked one. If we go to Proverbs 3:25, it says here, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." When you have sudden fear, there's no need to be afraid of it. You know, a curse that comes your way from someone without cause is nothing to be afraid of, but is to be rebuked. We have no need to worry about that. We don't have to receive it. We don't have to live in fear. "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." We know that the road is slippery to hell, but the Lord is able to keep us from falling. He is able to keep our feet on the right path. "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." We should always be looking for ways that we can bless other people. Always looking for ways that we can be a blessing somehow, spiritually and otherwise. To be kind and thoughtful and courteous. To help where we can help. Do what we can do. To not withhold a blessing when we have the power to give a blessing to someone somehow that is doing a work for God or had just, you know, been a blessing somehow in our lives. The Lord will speak to that person, however the Lord would so choose. "Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee." Isn't that a wicked thing to see people who are your neighbors to devise privily things in their hearts and minds to come against those for no cause and no reason at all? To cause strife and contention, to rumor, innuendos, lies of every kind. But they did that to Jesus too. And so I believe, and I know the Word of God talks about that, when these things happen to you, count it as joy. Rejoice when such things happen to you in your life. The Lord is well able to help us overcome. Yeah. "Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." I've always believed that that is the secret hiding place that the Lord gives us in his word and through the power of the Holy Ghost. His secret is with the righteous. "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." So there is a promotion for fools, isn't there? Their promotion is utter shame. Their promotion is rejection. Their promotion are curses. Their lives cannot be blessed. What a sad way to live. In Amos 3:7 it says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto the servants, his prophets." We know that God is able to speak to all of us. If we're his servant, if we are following after God, he will speak to us. He will speak to our hearts. And he will show us and reveal things to us, to help us, to encourage us, to lead us by the hand. Proverbs 10:2 says, why don't we go there real quick? Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Amen. Praise God. Anything gained by theft or robbery or any wicked means will not last. Heavy consequences are for the wicked. Usually, those that gain theft by, or that thief by gain, by thievery and theft, usually and oftentimes you find that their lives are cut off and cut short for some reason. We don't want to be in that category. In Proverbs 10:25, it says, as a whirlwind passeth, so the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. We know that tornadoes sweep away everything in its path. And so will the wrath of God, the wicked will be swept away on that day. We must be careful to live our lives in such a manner that we don't get caught up in the whirlwind of sin, of filth, of temptations that come our way, but that we stand fast. We stand fast at the foot of the cross, knowing that our only hope is not in the flesh, it's not in our own strength or our own understanding. It's in the God of heaven. As we lift up our hands unto God and cry out to Him, He's able to save us. Luke chapter 6, 44. Right here through 49, it says, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that which I say? So who are we? If we call Lord, Lord, and yet we disobey the gospel, we disobey his word, we don't have a right. We don't have those promises. We don't have a right to say, I can have this or I can have that, because we ask amiss. We ask with evil intents in our heart. We don't want that. What we want is God's blessing. We want to obey God so that He can bless us. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. What is that rock? We all know that rock is Jesus Christ. We all know that when the winds come, we hang on to that rock, and the winds of life and the torrents and all the temptations and all the evil, we could be bruised and cut and torn. But if we cling to that rock, the rock of our salvation, we have that firm foundation, that rock that is Jesus. He's unmovable. He won't let us down. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It's a great loss when you think about it. When you fall, you have everything to lose. When you lose out with God, you lose everything. When you lose out with God, you have lost completely everything that even matters. For what good is it to gain the whole world, but then to lose your own soul? What hope is there in that? If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, 20 and 22, it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." For God gives us that Spirit, that habitation in his presence. We're builded upon the rock, builded upon his ways, around his measures. He gives us the strength to live, to think, to act in a manner that is pleasing to him. 1 Peter chapter 2, 6 through 8 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Now this is from the King James. "And the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." In other words, these are the wicked that are offended at the word of God. These are the wicked that despised all that is good, right, and precious in God's sight. These are the wicked people that have come against God's word. These are the kinds of people that were also crushed by his word because they disobeyed it, because they despised it in their heart, and there was no hope in that. The Lord said he's going to grind them to powder. There's no hope in living unrighteously. Proverbs 10:28. Proverbs 10:28 says, where am I? 10:28. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." So you see, the hope that is in the wicked, their expectations is only vain. Because the wicked keep rejecting God's mercy and grace. There's no hope in that. But their expectation can be only shame and ruin, destruction of the soul, unless they repent before an almighty and a holy God. If you go to 30 and 32 in the same chapter, it says, "The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness." The mouth of the wicked are those words that are brutish and rude and loud and unkind and presumptuous, of every kind and wicked sort. They will levy accusations and lies at you and speak evil and presumptuously without any knowledge or wisdom or understanding. Those are the fruits of the wicked. That is the fruit of a brutish tongue and a heart that have not surrendered their lives or heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the brutish. Those are the wicked. And you'll know them by their fruits. But it is God who is able to deliver such a one if they will only repent. Only God will give such a one a second chance while there is still time. But there is little time left. If we go to Proverbs 11:20, They that are of the froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such are the upright, and their way are his delight. Through hand, join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in the swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Wow. A firm stability and peace are for the righteous soul, the rock of our salvation. But there is no kindness in the lips of the wicked. They are brutish evermore, always looking to tear down and ruin and cause strife, contention, and division of every sort because they want their way and they want it now. That's the way of the devil. Well, we're to wait on the Lord patiently. We're to wait patiently on the Lord and he will lift us up. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Praise God. We know that suffering to themselves, the vengeance of eternal hellfire, are those whose expectation can be said that they had one chance to live in this life righteously before God and refused it. They rejected his righteousness, his faith, that one hope of glory. They rejected it outright. They made excuses. They found a way to live without God. Oh, they lived without him all right. And the fruit thereof showed. They showed the fruit by the very lips of their words, their actions, their deeds. It became very clear. In 1 Peter 3, 14-17 says, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." For we know that we too are fallible. And we know that through meekness and fear, we work out our salvation through fear and trembling. And we seek to give an answer as such to those who are looking for answers. There's no reason to be loud or obnoxious. There's no reason to be prideful and boastful. For we cannot boast in the flesh. We boast in what God has done for us on the cross. In 16 it says, "And having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Amen? That's the truth. That's the word of God. But we are no better. We are to do so, and likewise, with patience, run the race, fight the good fight, live for God, be patient and kind and long-suffering, forbearing. Truly, the Spirit of God is at work in those who are willing to submit their lives in such a manner and fashion and way that there is no confusion, but we know that our only hope is in surrendering and obeying to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to get us there. He's able to help us. In Proverbs 14:32, it says, "The wicked are driven away in the wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Those who refuse correction and reproof, they despise their own soul, and they despise others because of it. So it's important to walk humbly before God. 2 Corinthians 5:8 and 9 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." That means that we live with the purpose of God in our life, fighting the good fight, to be found faithful and acceptable before an almighty and holy God, because we know that the days are short, the days are evil, and there are very few that have the faith that God said, "Will I find faith on the earth when I return?" How little of that faith will be left when the Lord comes back. Just a minute amount of faith among a remnant of people that are found left on the earth, willing to serve God, willing to give all, willing to subject their lives to the Lordship of Jesus, knowing that there is fruit and purpose and love and true life found in that way, the one way, the narrow road, the road that leads to righteousness and hope. Hebrews 11:16, "But now they desired a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he that hath prepared for them a city." In other words, they've remembered their past state. They press towards they press on for the hope of glory that is before them. They remembered who they were and where they came out of. They don't despise what God has done for them on the cross. They don't despise the good and gracious ways that God has provided for them, whether it be difficult or not. But they gladly take that road without murmuring or complaining. That's God's way. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to finish. I just can't believe time is just running out so quickly here. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way." Did you see that? Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. That pretty much speaks for itself, doesn't it? It says it all right there. In 15:26 through 29, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own soul, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." But we pray that God will help those people. They are an abomination to God. We are but a poor and needy and righteous people looking to God to lead us and guide us. But our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not our righteousness that we boast, but the righteousness that is found in Christ. We can do nothing and we are nothing without His help. And we know that God does not hear the prayers of the wicked. In Deuteronomy 31:17-18 says, "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is among us, or not among us?" You know that God is not among those who have murmured and complained against Him all the day long, who have sought their own way, who have rejected the precepts of God, who have rejected His righteousness, And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. So their paths are slippery, and their path leads to hell. There is a great judgment day coming. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The wicked are left unsatisfied. Their plans fail. They go in circles. They're wayward, unholy, unfaithful, and unfruitful. Those are the ways of the wicked. But the righteous will prosper. If you go to Isaiah 1, 16 and 20. Wash you, make you clean, put away evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The mouth of God, his words, the word of God, is a sword. The wicked, rebellious, stubborn will fall into perdition. The wickedness and the stubborn hearts, those who have stiffened their necks, only evil will befall such a person. God forbid that they should keep going down that path. And it's within our hearts, our desires to see such a people saved and redeemed, that they would repent and get right with God before it's too late. We don't ever want to see anyone fall into hell. That's not what we want. We don't want even to see the worst enemy of our life. We don't want to see them go to hell. We want to see that Jesus would redeem their lives. That they would be saved. That they would learn to live for God and glorify his name. Isaiah 3:10-11 says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. In other words, what he sows, he will reap. The wicked, they do not fear God. They despise his gifts, his mercy, his salvation. And they're cursed throughout eternity. They do the devil's bidding. They obey the ways of wickedness, where there is no hope, but the ways of the righteous to life eternal. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish. I'm just kind of coming towards the end. And I've got so much more material here to go through. I may have to wait for make it a part two, perhaps. And the yellow light is still on, and I don't know how much time I've got left, really. And maybe it would be suffice to say that we could end it right here and just start again next Sunday, perhaps, if the Lord allows me to be here to do so. And if the Lord tarries. So why don't we just close out today, and I'm going to pray, and Shirley's going to come to the piano, and we'll sing a song or two, but let me pray and ask God for his blessings throughout this day and week. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus. I know that this is more of a teaching than a preaching today, but I pray, oh God, that you would still bless it and still help others, oh God, and maybe others could maybe glean a little bit from what I've said. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that your name would be glorified, not only in the things that I brought forth, but in the things that we do, in the things that we say in our lives, that we would be found faithful unto the end. When you come back, we don't know when that day will be. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ be upon us. The power of the Holy Ghost would rain down upon us daily. That we would live victorious, to be quickened, alerted, to have inner knowing and inner understanding with wisdom and grace and purpose and love and a testimony, oh God, to give to those and a word fitly spoken at a time when people are needing answers in dark and a weary in an evil world. Oh Heavenly Father, help us therefore then to move forward, onward and upward, to take back the land that the devil has stolen, to break up our fallow ground, and to truly seek after thee, O God, and to live a life that is worthy of being called Christian. Though we come against the adversary, the devil, and though he try to discredit everything we are and everything we do, we know that our approval is not with such a person or with the devil. Our approval is in God. Our approval is in God's ways and how he uses us, talks to us, and blesses us. And we thank God Almighty that we can go to a God who hears us and listens to our cries and to our prayers, our concerns. Oh God, we know that you are there. You are here with us today. And we thank you, oh God, for your precious ways, for your precious Holy Ghost. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, now that you would be with us today, tomorrow, and all week. All those who are online and listening in, oh God, that you would abundantly bless them, each and every one of them, oh God. And I pray that next week, if you tarry, and I'm allowed to come back up here, oh God, that I would have something of value and worthy to say and to speak and maybe even preach next week, perhaps. By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.